I'm Nick Lippa here with Melissa Burgess of Victory Press. Hi, Melissa.
Hello.
And we're talking about Buffalo Butte hockey back in action after a very long break.
It has been forever, you know, and it was kind of weird because we had those first few weeks of the NWHL season, and then all of a sudden, you're off for weeks at a time. For those who don't know, it was intended to be a break for the Four Nations tournament, but that kind of fell through. But obviously, the schedule was already set, so they had this break, and we're back in action this weekend.
And with that, what do you think the effect of a long break has on a group of players?
I mean, I think it's tough, obviously, for these players, too. They have their own jobs and everything. Of course, they've been practicing during the break. They've been getting together at Northtown Center regularly. But obviously, coming back from a long break like that, you've kind of got to find your chemistry again. And maybe you had some things that were working together a few weeks ago, but it's been a few weeks and everything's kind of different now. And they're going to face at least one really hot team this weekend. So it'll be a challenge, and they won't have any time to really settle back in. It'll be, you know, right back into it.
And let's break into that. Who are they facing this weekend? Boston. Why is Boston so good? Well, they're undefeated, and you can elaborate on that.
Why is Boston so good? Don't we always ask ourselves that as Buffalo sports fans in general? Yeah, the Pride, you know, even historically have been a great team always. They're 7-0 this season, so they have not lost. They are far beyond any other team in the league standings. They have 14 points. Just for comparison, Minnesota is second with 7. So obviously quite a gap there. They just have a lot of talent. McKenna Brand is the leading scorer. She's been on fire. Their goalie, Lovisa Salander, has been stopping everything. So it's going to be a real challenge for Buffalo this weekend as they go to Boston on Saturday night. And then a quick turnaround as they're at Connecticut on Sunday afternoon. So not only a long road trip and then a little bit of trip between Boston and Connecticut, but also two games back-to-back less than 24 hours apart.
So what do you have as a prediction right now heading into this weekend?
I think that Saturday's game against Boston will be a struggle for the Buttes, just because it is Boston. They are so good. If the Buttes can get off to a fast start, you know, get Boston in their place from the beginning, get a couple quick goals, that's what they need to do. Because once you fall behind against the Pride, you're going to have a hard time scraping yourself back up. Sunday's game against the Whale of Connecticut should be, quote-unquote, should be a little easier. The Whale are the worst team in the NWHL at this point. And again, that kind of matches historically. The Whale have always been one of the lower teams. Boston's always been one of the better teams. But you can't take for granted that the Buttes would win on Connecticut's ice.
Think a little more success, though, for the Buttes. Maybe come away with a 1-1 kind of split.
I could definitely see that. And they're only 1 point below Minnesota for second place in the league. So, you know, there's that motivation, obviously. And then coming up in a couple weeks, the Buttes actually host Minnesota for a pair of games here the weekend of November 16th. So obviously kind of setting the pace for that. Buffalo wants to go in with a win, obviously.
Now, that being said, you mentioned they're going to have to get some goals scored early against Boston if they want to have success. Who's a player to watch for you?
Definitely Brooke Stacey. I don't know if you've spoken to her this season or not, but she has been just on fire. It's her first NWHL season, but from the get-go, she has made an impact on this team. So 5 games played, she has 6 goals, 2 assists, and 14 shots on goal. So she's just been all over the place on the ice, and definitely the player to watch for Buffalo this weekend.
Now, somebody like Brooke Stacey, this is her first year in the NWHL. One of the things you always ask yourself in sports in general is, oh, we're having a strike, or you have some anytime you have replacement players come into a situation, you ask, would this player have gotten a chance otherwise? And are they taking that opportunity to shine? And you're finding somebody that may not have had some of these opportunities otherwise.
There's definitely a few players on the Buttes like that. Brooke Stacey, Marie-Jo Pelletier, and then even on Boston, like I mentioned, the goalie, Lovisa Salander. All 3 of them, it's their first season in the NWHL. Could they have found a roster spot in past years? I don't know, you know? And so as much as we want to talk about, obviously, all the circumstances surrounding this, it is nice to see them find a spot and find success in the professional league.
Now, one of the big things for the league this year is viewership and trying to keep that fan base that they have. So let's talk about first the reaction that you had to the first homestand. How did it look at Northtown Center in Amherst?
It was a great crowd. It was pretty full. You know, lots of seats full, a couple people standing around the rink. Definitely a different feel than the games at Harbor Center, but of course you're going to have that. It's a suburban rink. It's kind of smaller, tighter, closer knit, and you're, you know, pretty much right on top of the players, whereas Harbor Center, you've got a little more space. But I think people were, you know, were feeling it. People brought signs still. There were lots of young girls meeting the players after the game and everything. And I think that's also the nice thing about Northtown Center is it's very open. That lobby section in the middle for just player and fan interaction. There were a line of fans waiting to get autographs from the team.
Do you feel like the fan base has lost steam heading into this year? Do you feel like it's kind of picked up where it was last year?
I think it's still too early to tell, honestly. I definitely saw some of the same fans from seasons past who were at the games at Northtown Center with their signs, their jerseys, all of that, you know, very dedicated and very loyal. But at the same time, it's hard to say because it could pick up steam because of especially the different game times. You've got some games at 11:30 in the morning. You've got some at 7:30 at night. And obviously those are, you know, two very different times where some you're going to have parents who might be willing to bring little kids and some you might not be. So I think it's a developing question. And I think, you know, now that this long break is over, it will also be an interesting factor to consider.
Now, with that, if you're not going to the game, the big thing the Buttes are doing this year, the NWHL is doing this year, is Twitch. You can go on Twitch and watch. How has that progressed? We talked about it a little bit last month, and there were some concerns with the technicality and the consistency of the stream. Has it gotten any better over the past month? And how about some of those numbers they broke out, too? We'll talk a little bit about that.
So has it gotten any better? Yes and no. So the NWHL just put out its Twitch numbers for the first month of the season. They said that there have been over 949,000 viewers. To me, that sounds a little bit high. I think it's really 949,000 views, perhaps. And, you know, taking into consideration, if I'm watching the game and I go off of the stream for intermission and then I go back and then I go off for intermission again, am I counted as three people? Because obviously you're going to inflate your numbers then. One of the other interesting parts of the numbers that they put out with Twitch was that 10% of the viewage came from the United Kingdom, which, you know, if you do the math there, that's like 9,000 people, they're saying, which sounds absolutely absurd to me. But at any rate, I think Twitch is a good platform. It seems like it so far. There's definitely some downfalls. If you would like to talk about that, I would be more than happy to.
Absolutely.
So one of the things that I noticed, because I was actually keeping track of the Twitch chat while I was at the Beans game, is that it's very far behind. And particularly in Buffalo, and hopefully this is something they'll have fixed, there's a very significant lag between the video and the audio commentary. So you will get a goal scored, and then the commentary will come a minute later. And obviously that's very distracting. That's very tough to watch. Even just watching back it's so hard to watch because your brain is seeing one thing and hearing another. It's very distracting. So I'm hopeful that they'll have figured out what that issue is. I think someone said that maybe things were plugged in separately where they needed to be plugged into each other. And the other thing, but of course it's the internet, so you're going to get this anywhere, is you're always going to get people making comments that are rude, discriminatory, you know, flat out profanity. For the most part, the moderators have been pretty good about that, but there were definitely some racist comments made in one of the channels at one point during the game, and it was not caught for a long time. And all these fans are saying, hey, somebody, like, delete this person, remove this user, and they're just continuing to say these comments. So things to improve. Obviously, you know, it's a work in progress in terms of the partnership, but so far it's pretty good.
I can imagine that could be frustrating too. I mean, you see sports fans in general, if there's any lag in any sport, even if the audio and video are synced up, Twitter spoiling a lot of moments in live sports as well. And I got to imagine it's much slower than potentially somebody at the game tweeting what's happening too, right?
Yeah, and even, you know, I was in that Twitch chat and they would say a goal would happen on the video and then I would be typing in the Twitch chat and say, so-and-so just scored. Because fans are asking, well, who scored? How much time's left? What was that penalty? And, you know, to wait a minute after that for the audio to kick in is quite frankly not acceptable for sports fans. And so hopefully they've figured that out.
Yeah, early stages of Twitch and the NWHL, but hopefully we see improvement moving forward with that. And that leads us to our final topic for today, which is some very interesting Hillary Knight comments. And I will leave you to it to catch everybody up on what Hillary Knight said. Let's start off for people who don't know. Who is Hillary Knight? Why is she important? And what she said.
If you don't know who Hillary Knight is, I feel sorry for you. Hillary Knight is arguably the most recognizable women's hockey player definitely in the United States. She's a U.S. national team member. She also formerly played in the NWHL for, shocker, Boston. But she also played in the CWHL, the Canadian Women's Hockey League, both before the NWHL and after, before the league folded. So I think, you know, she definitely has a perspective of a little bit of everything. So she made some comments in an article this week, basically calling the NWHL a glorified beer league. And obviously people latched onto that and took up arms one side or the other. So just to get a few facts straight, she called the NWHL a glorified beer league, but she has also said that same thing about the CWHL, a league that she also played in for a lot longer. I think people are latching onto the NWHL thing because of the current state of women's hockey, the PWHPA versus the NWHL, and, you know, using that comment to fuel that. But it is important to put it in the context that she has said this about more than one league. It's also important to realize that she has a lot of clout in the hockey world, and she has the audience that she can say that. You're not going to catch, you know, a non-national team player saying something like that, probably, because they don't probably feel like they have the platform to say something like that. And I can see where she's coming from. Obviously, the PWHPA was formed by a group of players who feel like the NWHL is not enough and who want more and want different things. And the same with the CWHL, which obviously no longer exists. So a lot of people, you know, say that comments like that are dividing women's hockey and they're the problem of what's happening in women's hockey and all that. And I'm very torn on the subject, to be quite honest. I think that it's very important that she's honest, and she has experience in the CWHL, in the NWHL, in the national teams. She, you know, knows what she wants. She knows what they want. But at the same time, she is this big person who can say this. And so does she speak for every member of the PWHPA? Probably not. But that's just like, you know, Danny Ryland doesn't necessarily speak for every member of the NWHL. So I think going forward, I don't know, it's going to be interesting. The PWHPA just announced actually some more events in North York, Ontario, near Toronto, later this month. So that's kind of their next set of events. I don't know if Hillary Knight is on the roster for that event or not. Obviously, it's not really close to her locale of Toronto. And she also just got done with the U.S.-Canada Friendly Series down in Pittsburgh. But I think the PWHPA has more up its sleeve. They have more events coming. I've heard Arizona, I've heard Philadelphia, so those will all come in 2020. I think the NWHL is going to continue to do its thing, and eventually maybe the NHL steps in and settles something, but I still think this is maybe another season out from any solution.
And with that, we have to address that because we didn't actually get a chance to talk about this. The NHL commenting, hey, you know, like the rumors that they could step in. And what are your thoughts? Because that is something that is really interesting. And I see two sides. One, we're excited somebody with money wants to come in and potentially invest into women's hockey. Two, not a lot of people are confident in the NHL's ability to run a successful league. What are your thoughts on the matter?
I think I also see both sides of it. Full respect to the PWHPA members who have said flat out that's what they want. They want the NHL to come in and create this league. You can definitely understand where they're coming from. The NHL has money. They have sponsors, and they have the history. You know, they have all of these frameworks in place. They have arenas that could host these women's teams. They have fan bases. They have marketing, all of that. So there's definitely a good, you know, set of ideas there. But on the flip side, like you said, the NHL sometimes seems to have trouble running its own league. So how are they going to run a women's league in addition to that? Also, of course, there's the question of if they were to run a women's league, who's in charge of it? Is it Gary Bettman, or is it someone else hired to be in charge of it? And is that person a woman, or is that person a man? And does Gary Bettman still have oversight to say, well, I don't like how you're doing things, and it's your league, but it's really my league? And, you know, so there's a lot of questions about how that would be handled. And also just the fact that, you know, people see it as, well, men want to come in and save the women's hockey. And, like, we don't need men to come in and save women's hockey because women can save women's hockey. And that's kind of what the PWHPA is doing. But they're also hoping that the NHL comes in. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. Gary Bettman has basically said that they won't step in while they're still a league. So to me, you know, that says either the NWHL needs to give itself up or fold or fall apart. I don't see that happening anytime soon, and I definitely don't see the NWHL giving itself up to the NHL. And even if they did, that doesn't mean that the PWHPA players would just join right back in. Obviously, things would have to change. Pay would have to be there, and health insurance and training and things like that. And I think it's a few years long process. I mean, you can't expect something like that to happen overnight. I think what the PWHPA players are doing is the start. But it is a start, and that's where you need to start from and go from there.
Always interesting to talk about the ever-changing politics of this, on top of the fact we're talking about an NWHL season where the Buttes are potentially competing for the number two spot in the NWHL. A lot more to talk about in the future. Can't wait. By the time we're talking next month, too, we'll have an outdoor game to look forward to as well. And I am personally really stoked about that. Thank you very much for coming in, Melissa.
Thank you.